Thanks for choosing Felger and Naz to entertain.
Including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the 3-1. And popped him up. That should do it. Zhu Weilin to make the catch, and the Red Sox win again, this time for the 53rd time, 53-27.
Well, let's mix in some Red Sox thoughts here. Another useless night, I think. Useless. It's over after the first pitch. What am I going to do with 9-1? What are you going to do with that?
Nothing. Nothing. It was a blowout again. It was one zip early, and it was 5-0 in the third inning, and that was the end of that. And so, like, it's amazing to me, just as an aside, you take Ohtani off the Angels and they're back to being the Angels again that they've been for the last 5 years. Just by taking the one starting pitcher out of there that, like, gives them some juice. Other than that, another dog food game. Absolute freaking dog food game. And when you looked at the schedule way back when, this was a stretch of about 10 games, or ish, 9, that you said, well, that's going to be a pretty good stretch there. Get the Angels, then 3 in New York, and then 3 with the Nationals over the 4th of July. Pretty good. You're going to see some good competition there. Well, maybe not yet. Maybe starting Friday. So, look, good for the Red Sox. Price is still zipping right along for the most part. He lost the last start, but get another win tonight. So now it's 8-1 in the last 9 or whatever it is. And to me, it's all about the Yankees and where they finish relative to the Yankees.
Useless game.
Dog food.
I couldn't have been more wrong about this Angels team, too. I thought going into the season they would actually be better than the Red Sox. They stink, just like everybody else.
No, you were right. You were right. But now they don't have Ohtani. And now they've, sort of like become the Angels again.
But in these 4 games that they play the Red Sox so far this season, they don't even look like they're close to them.
So that's true, Murray. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. I mean, they outscored them, 27-3 or something the last time they played them? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Every game on average is exactly what last night was.
I mean, this
9-1.
This Jeff Spicoli that they put out there last night, like, that game was over in the first inning.
Oh, God, please. Total clown.
Here's a meatball, Mr. Hand.
First pitch. First pitch.
Right down the pike. Oh, there it goes.
Good God.
See some tasty waves of meatball.
So, Sox do win. Clean up on the Angels. David Price pitches well. And then afterwards, gives us something, finally. At least there's this from last night. And there's another thing that I want to get to as well. And that's Jackie Bradley Jr. starting to hit. And how much we buy into that. But on David Price, so David Price has another good outing, wins another game. Again, he's been outstanding since he comes off the carpal tunnel, and they tell him to put down the video game. But he just can't, the martyr, Mr. Martyr, cannot help with the martyr routine every chance that he gets. So now he's in the post game, and of all people, Greg's big boy here, Greg Bedard, our buddy from Boston Sports Journal, he goes over to Fenway and does a Red Sox night. And so Bedard is among the media scrum asking him about what's scheduled next, which is the Yankees Sunday night, Severino, right?
Yeah, Luis Severino.
So he's probably Cy Young favorite Severino in Yankee Stadium, Sunday night baseball. David Price bags out the last time they faced the Yankees, et cetera, et cetera. So he's asked about it after last night's game. Here's how that exchange went.
David, looking forward to Sunday night at Yankee Stadium, that challenge?
I don't think I'll be able to go, so I don't think so.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite.
I don't think I'll be able to go. Because of Fortnite? Yes, Fortnite.
I've heard the joke. Yep, Fortnite. I get it. I'm always playing it. You guys think you're so clever. I got it.
Oh, the burden of being you.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite. Yeah, Fortnite. I get it. I've heard the joke. I've heard the bad impersonation over and over and over again. Yeah.
Oh, the burden of being you. Oh, wow. And what? You're right. To call him a martyr.
What? Like, a martyr.
Oh, God.
Such a martyr.
The thing I don't... The one thing... And you know what? It's actually... It is... in some way a little bit funny, but it's not like the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like, people cracking up and talking, going out and on about this today, like, oh, well, he's getting the media, he's showing up. Fine, whatever. Let's just not act like David Price has a, second career as a comedian right now because of how he's been acting after these games. But, bottom line is, and I'll continue to say this, if him feeling hated like this and this martyr complex has him continuing to pitch the way he has over the past, 8, 9 starts, really, then fine. Continue to act like a martyr, and it's so hard, and the burden of being you is so difficult, David, because you hate it here so much, and you hate people like me, and you hate the rest of the media, and you hate the fans, and you hate the Boston experience. Oh, poor you.
I mean, it is. It's nine in a row where he's allowed three runs or fewer. He's getting an ERA of 272 over the last nine starts. And you know, like, as he said it, I'm not convinced he's going to show. Like, no offense, but I'll believe it when you're out on the mound Sunday night, pal. Like, with the way these other two have gone this year, you know, the first one was the numbness in the fingers, then the carpal tunnel syndrome. What's it going to be this time? I'm not convinced you're going to be out there. You might have been joking. I'm not.
But the whole thing about joking, like, if you're joking, like, he never smiles when he does one of these.
Right, so if this was, like,
he never chuckles, he never winks, he never, like... There's a way to bust balls and be joking, and you're joking. Like, yeah, no, I'm going to miss that because of Fortnite, right, guys? I mean, I don't know, and then maybe that's even a poor attempt, but there's some sort of lightness underneath a joke where you're joshing and you're playing along with the joke, or maybe
you're being self-deprecating.
Or self-deprecating. There is none of that with that.
No, he can't laugh at himself at all.
There is none of that with him. That is straight out, this is what you've reduced me to. You don't think I can pitch in New York. I won't pitch in New York because I'll be playing Fortnite because that's what you know. Like, there's just that sourpuss right next to it that I'm sorry, I can't give him the fact that he's joking because there's no one's laughing.
No, because it really isn't a joke. Just look at his face, and then he storms off after Ian Brown is the one that says, Fortnite.
Yeah, Fortnite. I've heard it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what you think I'm all about.
He is. He's such a baby. He really is. He's such a baby. And you know what it is, too, is that... I think part of it is that he just hates the people that are asking him the questions. So if a teammate said it, he might be able to chuckle and laugh about it. But the media, oh, you dirtbags.
The people in front of him are the least of his problems. Those guys mostly get his back.
I know, but he somehow connects it to the
us.
You know,
meaning, you know, the whatever, the fans,
the Boston media experience.
That chirp him, right. He takes it out on whether, I'm not saying it's specifically Murray, although I'm sure you're on the list, pal. But, like, whatever this Boston experience that he does hate, oh, he hates it. Hates it. He takes it out on those four guys in front of him, and those four guys in front of him are actually trying to get his back and be nice to him.
Poor Bedard and Ian Brown.
No. Not poor Bedard. It's the only way we get it out of him. He's looking at Bedard going, who's this chubby little fella? And he'll call him little because he's like 6'6 or whatever. But he's like, who's the guy who looks like Bob's big boy? Like he's been spending time at Dunkin' Donuts.
But he just can't help himself. And now we do have New York on Sunday night. So let's see, David.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, and again,
I'll be busy. I'll be playing Fortnite. Right there.
I'll come up with something. If I am an all-star, that I won't have to pitch. I play a lot of Fortnite, you know, the night before, so I'll be down.
And at Yankee Stadium on top of it. Like, you know, because to me, if it were here, that would be one thing. He had a good game against him here. In fact, I think it was his last good start before his elbow flared up again. They put him on the DL, and then last year, you know, he ended up coming out of the bullpen. But I thought the game he pitched against the Yankees here last year on a Sunday night was one of the best games I've ever seen him throw as a member of the Red Sox. But this one, this is in New York. You know, and they are, you know, they'll...
Against Severino. Isn't Severino undefeated or something?
Yeah, I don't know if he's undefeated, but he's, you know, he's had a good year,
the
too.
The Red Sox smoked him earlier this year,
did
Severino.
They?
Yeah, this is one, might have been his only bad start of the year. But, you know, to me, like... Oh, I could totally see him getting fed to the lions in New York. I could totally see that.
I know I'll be rooting for that. I've said that for a while. I officially tapped out after the whole little minor meltdown there with the, I'm soft. You know, I'm soft. Oh, and I would go out there and I guess I'd just blow it out. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but like, oh, yeah. Well, oh,
how many moments has he had like this?
Oh, allergies is something I've always had to battle, and whether it's fresh cut grass or cats or I found I'm allergic to dogs.
You know, any of his starts, I hope the Red Sox win the game 9-8, and he's out of the game. He gets his face ripped off in the first couple of innings, and that's what I'll be rooting for Sunday night.
He's 12-2, Severino. 2.1 ERA. 12-2. He had 14 wins all of last year. He's got 12 already. 12-2. On pace for 25-4.
Look at how excited Mass gets.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like, you know, sometimes those teams that are on having special seasons always have an ace who goes like, you know, 24-4.
Bright lights, big.
I don't need to be in a bubble or anything like that.
Nope. Alec in New Hampshire, give us a Red Sox talk. Go ahead, Alec.
I've always had to battle.
Just curious. We stopped the Yankees Red Sox series on Friday night. They got CeCe Sabathia on the mound. Who's pitching for the Red Sox, and how do you guys feel about going into Friday night?
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Rodriguez is pitching again?
Yeah, Thursday night. Thursday night was going to be Steven Wright's game, so that one's going to be either Brian Johnson or Hector Velasquez. So it'll be Eduardo Rodriguez. The Red Sox are throwing three lefties in New York.
You used to feel good about throwing lefties in New York.
You
now?
Should, in theory.
Not right, no, in the past. Now?
Well, right. So they're going to catch a little bit of a break that Sanchez won't be playing. Right, he's out with an injury, and he's going to be out for a while, it feels like. He's got a groin problem that I think he pulled running down the first baseline the other night, and so he's going to be gone for a month at least, I think. But the other two guys, you know, they get some, and even the lefties, Gregorius hits lefties.
Guess who's hitting now for New York, too?
Stanton.
Now. Guess who's hitting?
I saw that he get up into the 260s. He's having a good month. So, look, to me, it's way more interesting when, you know, when they're all there. Like, I'd rather them have Sanchez in the lineup and go, you go your best against their best.
Mass is already hedging.
Oh, no, he's right, too, because he owns Price, too. Like, Price is skating a little bit, not seeing Gary Sanchez this weekend.
I mean, they do. They catch a little bit of a break there. But you know what? So what? That's fine. They haven't had Pedroia all year, either.
I suppose that's on me, too.
And frankly, Sanchez is hurt because he's fat. That's why he's a whale. If he took care of himself, maybe he wouldn't pull a muscle running down at first base.
All right, we're going to mix this stuff in with our NBA chatter and the latest there. Some developing rumor mongering going on in the NBA. We continue with your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Have you been looking forward to Sunday night at the Yankee Stadium and that challenge?
I don't think I'll be able to go, so I don't think so.
Fortnite?
Yeah, Fortnite.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm happy when fans say we hate you, David. I know I'll never be celebrated. I'm only happy when it rains. I know you root for me to pitch real bad. Your hate's the thing that makes me feel glad. I'm only happy when it rains. They hate me, Astro. Ah! Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. Pour your misery down. Pour your misery down on me. I just want to play Fortnite. In fact, let me start it up right now. All right, let's get online.
Here we go. Oh, yeah. Now I'm not sad. Yeah. Oh, I got that minigun. Let me mow down all these bitches and earn me some V-Bucks. I'm gonna get that money and buy me some new skins. This is so much fun.
Oh, God. A baby. Sorry.
No. Keep going. Keep going. I'm going to do it for 4 hours.
Yeah, I'll get back on. So you don't have to twist my arm. I love playing. Oh, this is so much fun. Oh, hey, you, Benny, jump on here, bro, and help me 86 these clowns. I'm sitting here racking up kills like a mofo. JBJ, eyes to the sky, my dude. These pitchers are launching. Switch up your weapon and grab a shotty to spray them. So much fun. Yo, Kimbrel. How are you on Mass, man? You share any bricks or some wood? I need to build. I'm running low over here, fam. Come on.
The thing is, he's the one that doesn't let it go, right? I mean, he's the one every time that he plays his little martyr act. I guess he was asked about the Fortnite. I guess someone did. Someone did prompt him last night. So it wasn't unprompted. The time before.
But everything before.
The time before, the couple times before was unprompted. Unprompted, where he's bringing up how soft I am and the Fortnite and all of that. Boy, does he hate it here.
Fortnite and seven starts ago, Boston Media decided to make me the scapegoat. I hate you all.
All right, back to the phones. Red Sox stuff and our Celtics stuff. Sean and Marble. Go ahead, Sean. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I have two thoughts on this whole L.A. thing. I tried to call on the first one the other day where L.A. can't sign everyone. And even if these players want to go to L.A., they're going to be taking less money to sign as a free agent than these other teams can offer them in Supermax. But on the flip side, if you go to California, do you guys realize that the top tax bracket is 13.3%? So not only are they taking less money, but they're paying more taxes. So what that does is Now you're looking at a basketball scenario where if Ainge or Philly or the Clippers can offer equivalent money, but you have a better basketball
situation, I think
Ainge is in the perfect situation.
Okay. Ending with the obligatory, the Celtics are in the perfect situation. Why don't we green teamers just start and end every call like that? So you'll be like a handshake. The Celtics are in a perfect position. Then you take, and then the Celtics are in a perfect position. It makes you feel better. All those conditions you just said about playing basketball in California, how did Golden State figure it out? I don't know. Don't they have the same? For some reason, do they charge you less in taxes in the Bay Area than they do in L.A.?
Nope.
I mean, maybe there's civic taxes I'm not aware of, but if you're talking about state taxes, I think that's in the same state.
Oh, I bet you taxes in San Francisco are high, too.
Furthermore, some guy's going to have to take less. Exactly. Don't they all? Didn't all those guys take less in Golden State? Didn't LeBron take less when he went to Miami? Didn't D-Wade take less when he went there? Didn't so-and-so take less? This is why these players are now in the driver's seat, because they take less and they engineer their contract to fit what needs to be fit to go to where they want to go. So that's 0 for 2.
See, to me, that's the big one. Is it the basketball salary to these guys? Doesn't really mean all that much.
So and
it's about the shoes.
So the third thing is, does it matter to LeBron James's bottom line if he's taxed at 13% or 9 or 15 or 82?
No. No, because again, LeBron's going to make more from the shoe deals anyway. Like, I think all the good players are like that, for crying out loud. The salary to them is becoming incidental. It's a problem. It's been a problem for a while now. These guys don't have to worry about what their basketball salary is. Michael Jordan is still making $100 million a year from Nike. Still!
So, the Lakers may not be able to put it together. There's no guarantee there. But it won't be because of the tax rate. And it won't be because of them not being able to sign guys. And it won't be able because they won't be able to fit them. Those aren't the reasons. It looks like the reason right now is timing. That LeBron wants it put together now. And the Spurs aren't playing ball with the Lakers. And the Lakers aren't going to go get Kawhi now when they know they can get him as a free agent next year. And LeBron is sitting there saying, well, I don't even want to wait a year. I don't want a rebuilding project, even if that rebuilding project takes 12 months. Cam and Taunton on the Sox. Go ahead, Cam.
I'm kind of stealing Jones and Garcan's take here, so I'll say that up front. Because these guys said this last night. With the Angels in here this weekend, the Angels bring in the player who you could argue is having the best first half of a season in baseball history. And the best player in the game, bar none. And Jones and Garcan said this, and it's so true. Do you know a thing about this guy? Other than his Subway ads that he did 5 years ago, this is a guy who's had better numbers at this point of his career than Griffey. He's got almost as many home runs that Bonds has this time of his career, almost as many hits as Pete Rose. This guy is literally has the potential to be the best baseball player ever. And nobody, when he was at bat last night, did you think, oh, I got to put down my stuff, Mike Trout's hitting?
No, it's so true.
It's not true. It's just like nobody knows a thing about this guy.
Meanwhile,
when they play the Nationals in a few weeks, we'll all watch Bryce Harper at bats. But not Trout.
No one cares about Mike Trout, and I mean no one.
So
no, zero. He does not move the needle, even an inch.
So there's two reasons for it, right? One's his personality. He's as bland as it gets. And the other thing is he's in Anaheim. I mean, if he were in New York, wouldn't we know more about him?
Definitely. That's as relevant a franchise as there is.
I mean, to me, so like I feel like he's lost out there. Now, that said, he's boring as hell, at least as far as I can tell. I heard a stat last night that, honestly, I want to check because I'm not sure it can be true. Do you realize he's never gone more than two games in his career without reaching base?
That's absurd.
Okay? So, again, I want to check it because I said there's no way that can be true. But he's never gone more than two games without, you know, getting on base via, without reaching base. Period. Like, that to me is stupid.
And when I say no one cares, I mean no one cares. No one cares. I don't know whose fault that is. Is that his fault? Is that baseball's fault? Is that a indictment of the game? The league?
All of the above.
A little bit.
All of the above.
But, I mean, I stop and watch Aaron Judge, and I stop and watch Giancarlo Stanton, and I think Cam's right, mostly about Harper. You know, he moves the needle there, for sure. They're talking about Mike Trout. Man, no one cares about that dude. Steve and Taunton. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, boys. I know you guys were discussing about LeBron bumping heads with Magic. What about the coach, Luke Walton? And how is Luke Walton going to control all these big-headed superstars?
He's not. He's going to get bulldozed by whoever ends up there. He has no
exactly.
shot.
Exactly.
No shot.
Exactly. So my whole thing is that not only are they going to try to get all these players, but then they're going to try to have a new coach to keep these guys in line.
Okay.
And I don't think that's going to happen.
The thing is, though, if you have the right players, Maz or Murray could coach the team, and it's not going to matter.
No, no, you just sit there and stay out of the way.
Seriously. Turn the lights on when you show up to practice, if they let you practice, if they, meaning the players, let you practice. You call practice. If the players say, okay, we'll show up and practice, and you turn on the lights, and then as soon as they say they're done, you turn off the lights.
And expect a jersey thrown right in my face.
Exactly. Yep. And then, you know, the next day, whatever time they want to show up to the arena, just make sure you're there when they want them, when they want you there. And then sit there and then wear a nice suit. And that's pretty much it.
I would also
basically Casey Jones.
I mean, I would also offer to carry one of those big mesh bags that hold the basketballs. Like, I would offer to do that on that team because, to me, I want them to make sure they're getting their money's worth.
So he's true what he says about the coaching, but he leaves out it doesn't matter. Jim in Everett. Hi, Jim. What do you got on the Red Sox?
Yeah, I got a little take with Tony there. Last week, the Yankees got swept by Tampa Bay, but I didn't hear him saying a word about them playing a stinky team and losing three at home.
Well, no, it's true because I was
the Red Sox when that happens.
No, Jim, it's a good point. I was too busy bitching about the Red Sox losing 2 out of 3 at Minnesota. That's what I was tied up at that time.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Yeah. How about having a little bit of credibility there?
Yeah, how about a little credibility, Mass?
Well, I got to work on that part of it. Look, I think the Yankees are now back in front by a half game because they made up a game on Monday again that they won. So this is what it's going to be all year. You're going to have this going back and forth. I know you people think I hate the Red Sox. I don't. I don't hate them. And I know you think I love the Yankees, and I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
No,
you love the Yankees.
No, I love the competition. That's what I love. I love the fact that there's an actual little fight for the division. That's what I like.
How much does the division matter? Because I'm coming off of how important it really is.
I still think it matters.
It matters. I'm sorry to get annoyed. Because, of course, it matters. Like, you'd rather win it than not. Like, how much do you put into it?
Well, if you get to the final weekend of the season, do you blow out your pitching to win it?
Exactly. So, I mean, just simple enough. You finish Saturday, Sunday against the Yankees, I think, right?
Yeah, they play final weekend of the series against season against the Yankees.
Okay, so the Yankees are in the same spot as you. So just, there's a Saturday game. There's a one-game difference in the standings for the division. They got Severino. You got Sale. You pitch those guys. You try and win the game to win the division. Great. If you lose it, now you're in the wild card game, and Sale's unavailable for the wild card game. What do you do?
Good question.
I start.
I want to know who the wild card game's against.
I start Eddie Rodriguez. I start someone else. I save Sale, and I line up Sale for that wild card game and win it and live to fight another day.
So I don't know. That's a tough one. It is. It's a tough one. In all seriousness, I would wait. I mean, I would want to know who you're playing.
If it's Seattle and you get Sale in that game, you're going to win that game.
Who would you be fearful? Houston. So if somehow Houston gets caught in the West and they're the wild card?
I mean, it's got more to do with the pitcher than it does, I guess, with the team.
Yeah, okay, so Verlander.
So to me, it's more about who you're going to face on the mound. And so, you know, and how's that guy been throwing? Like, that would concern me. I don't like the idea of playing the one game. I don't. I would go for the division.
Okay, so this is all I know. At least the Red Sox, thank God, have Jackie Bradley back. Thank nothing to see here now on Jackie Bradley, from what I've been told. We'll pick this up right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Ow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good count for Jackie. It's a high fly ball into left field. Upton's back on the track, turning now. And that ball gets out. It's gone. It carried just enough into the monster seats. And the Red Sox have a 6-1 lead.
So Jackie Bradley with the home run last night has another couple of hits. Let me just give his game log. Feels like the last couple he's scratched out a couple of hits here. He has. If my computer would load, I would tell you, but it can't. It won't. So what can I tell you?
He's had a couple of three hit games in the last few days. He had a three hit game on Sunday. You're thinking of another one last night, right?
Yep.
So yeah, there you go. He's put he's
381 in his past 15 games at Fenway Park.
That number is not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
The last couple of games has three hits each of the last two games, right?
Yep, six for seven.
Okay.
In the last two, and you know, was starting. Well, in any case, go ahead. It feels to me like Jackie Bradley's about ready to have his hot month of the year. like he does every year, or close to it.
We don't even know that, since it's really only been the last two games.
Correct.
I'm sorry, Murray gave you the last several at home, but we just look at wherever they're played. He's now had two games where he's scratched together some hits. Two games.
Two games is right.
Two games. Two games where he scratched together some hits. Now, I have been on the receiving end, Maz, and not necessarily. I'm not telling you that I've been on I'm the receiving end here, but I'm just telling you from my perspective. I have been on the receiving end of my fair share of.
Bleh.
Bleh.
How do you like him now?
Bleh. I've gotten a lot of that, in my day, and that usually comes, like the absurd cases come, like when Tuukka Rask beats Buffalo in a regular season game in February. And then, bleh.
Tuukka's won 3 of 4. How do you like him now? Bleh. Don't you feel like an idiot?
When Rask beats Buffalo and Carolina back-to-back in February to lower his goals against to 2-4. Meanwhile, he's won one playoff round in like 5 years and has one of the worst playoff save percentages cumulatively and blah, 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 blah. But he'll win a meaningless game and it's... So I know it when I hear it. And boy, did I hear it last night on NBC Sports Boston. The tail end of Boston Sports tonight. Evan Drellick does a hit from Fenway Park on the game. And he's asked by Danielle, or new gal, on Boston Sports tonight... generically mentioning David Price and Jackie Bradley, that, where are the Red Sox right now? Where would you rank them? And where would you put them on a scale of 1 to 10? This is what Evan said.
Evan, let's take a look at this big picture. Jackie Bradley Jr. had a great game. You mentioned David Price and the success he's having. This was a blowout 9-1 victory. We know where they are in the standings. Give me 1 to 10. Like, how solid of a ball club are the Red Sox right now?
When Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting, there are 12, okay? Trade JBJ. Get him out of here. Look, guys, he's hitting. He did it tonight. Are we back on the Jackie Bradley Jr. train? Is everyone convinced now that he's still a capable hitter, that he can be a contributor and a worthwhile player on this team? They're a very good team overall. When the bottom of the order is producing Christian Vasquez, Jackie Bradley, that's when you see these types of games. That's kind of the X factor in the lineup, is that bottom third.
Real quick,
okay,
Evan.
So that's all we need. The point about, when they're hitting at the bottom of the order, obviously, yeah, that makes sense. Are we convinced now that what did he say?
That's the money line.
That's the word.
Are we convinced? No.
Aren't we all convinced now that Jackie Bradley is, and then he's an effective hitter in the bottom of the slide? I can't remember how he finished that phrase.
No.
Are we convinced now?
No. No. What, are we stupid? A guy gets 3 hits and all of a sudden 2 days in a row and all of a sudden all the things solved?
This is as bad of a case of as I've ever heard. That raised his average to 190. He's gotten 6 hits in his last 7 at-bats, you said?
Correct.
To get him to 199. He's still not at 200.
Ooh. Look out, everyone.
No, this is what I'm saying. It's like the guy's hitting .199 after getting hits in his 6 of his last 7 at-bats. And we're going to say, see? See? Are you kidding me? That is as bad of a case of the... That's that Twitter voice when you've been ragging someone and then he gets a hit or makes a save or scores a single touchdown. It's like, blah, how do you like him now? Yeah, how's he been for the last year and a half? How's he been? We just looked this up last
week. Yep,
I
looked it up since the All-Star break of last year, okay? Because we're closing in on a full season now, right? You're closing into the break again, and the first half's always longer. So we're not quite at a full 162. But since the All-Star break of last season... Of 114 players who would qualify for a batting title in Major League Baseball, Jackie Bradley ranks 113th in batting average. 113.
So again,
202.
From last year's All-Star break.
From last year's All-Star break, he's batting 202.
Which ranks 113 out of 114 qualifiers. Never mind all those who don't qualify. Who's behind him? Is it Chris Davis?
177. He's a runaway for the worst player in baseball. Like, he is. He's a runaway, and he makes a good chunk of money on top of it.
Jackie second. Hitter. Offensive.
202 for a year now.
Oh, my God.
He's officially back, everyone.
When I see Evan next, I'll help him a little bit. I'll coach him on the blah. Because what he was doing there, that first part of the sponsor is, yeah, let's trade Jackie now. How do you like, oh, yeah, let's get rid of Jackie. Like, he's back. Aren't you convinced now? You got to be kidding me, Evan. You've got to be kidding me.
I mean,
two games?
Right, and look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Baseball's the ultimate big sample game. So you have a guy who's hit 202 over a full year now. And you're going to say, see, this proves he can hit?
He's back, Maz. Oh, you don't know.
God, don't you feel stupid? Don't you? Oh, you want to trade him now? Oh, you want to trade him now, huh? Idiot.
I mean,
you've got to be kidding me. I spat out my decaf coffee last night, Evan. Good Lord.
And the other thing is when you weigh it out, too, you weigh some other factors. He's hitting 202, but, you know, he's hit 45 home runs. Not this guy. No, he's got 10. He's got 10 home runs in the last year. He's slugging. Think of it in these terms. He's slugging .313. Okay? Jose Altuve in that same period of time is hitting .344. Like, J.D. Martinez's batting average in the last year is better than Jackie Bradley's slugging percentage.
So he ranks 113 out of 114 qualified hitters in Major League Baseball over the last, what amounts to basically a full season. That's in batting average. You have what OPS is? I bet he's second to last, too.
I don't have OPS.
They won't do that for you?
It doesn't break it out for me in this search engine.
Well, you know what? The more time we have, the more crappy stats we'll pull up. They aren't hard. They aren't hard to find. This is arguably the worst hitter in Major League Baseball. Fact, not opinion. It just, he is. One of the worst hitters, if not the worst hitter in Major League Baseball.
Tell you what, I'll try to give you on base, because that's always a good one, too. Like on base average, where does he rank in that metric?
And so he gets a couple of hits. He gets three hits in each of the last two games, and it's, don't you feel like an idiot for wanting to trade this guy?
And on base, he's 109th. 109 out of 114.
Oh, I traded him yesterday. See you. Bye-bye. You can't hit.
Tell you what, while we're at it, let's do slugging too, just for fun. Okay,
so you can do on base and slugging, but you can't give me OPS.
I know this
you can't just add them together.
Because it doesn't do it for every player. He's dead last in slugging.
He's officially back, everyone. So, don't you feel like an idiot?
So now look, Chris Davis is going to be worse, but I don't think it's a stretch for us to say he's 113th in OPS.
He has to be.
Yeah, he's guaranteed
dead last in slugging, I'm sorry, 109 in slugging, dead last in on base.
Correct. No, the other way around. Dead last. Right. You got it right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he
blows.
He's last.
He sucks.
He's the only guy worse in the league in OPS since the All-Star break of last year is Chris Davis, who is a bum.
We invited Evan on. He can't come on for various reasons, but I love him with all my heart. I'm going to beat up on Evan Drellick, but I just want to like have
a nice guy.
Like have a heart. Tremendous. I'm going to have a heart to heart. Like just like Evan. He sucks. He sucks. He blows. He's horrible. He's a horrible offensive player. That for some reason the stat geeks like because of his UZR and his WAR. He's got high WAR ratings. So the nerd community just nerd out to this guy. But he sucks. He's lousy. And I would trade him yesterday for a rosin bag. Even with the six hits in the last two games.
So, and Murray and I, Murray will attest to this for me. There was someone called last week. There was a rumor that it was a trade proposal of Bradley to the Reds for Billy Hamilton. Who is 111th on the list?
It's like, I do it.
Tell you what, why don't you take my dog food for your dog crap? Let's do that. Dog food for dog crap. Is that a fair deal? Like, unbelievable.
All right.
He gets 2-3 hit games, and all of a sudden now he's going to win the batting title?
I've heard some beauties, but that one did take the cake. Long commercial-free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Give me 1 to 10. Like, how solid of a ball club are the Red Sox right now?
When Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting, they're 12, okay? Trade JBJ. Get him out of here. Look, guys, he's hitting. He did it tonight. Are we back on the Jackie Bradley Jr. train? Is everyone convinced now that he's still a capable hitter, that he can be a contributor and a worthwhile player on this team? They're a very good team overall. When the bottom of the order is producing Christian Vasquez, Jackie Bradley, that's when you see these types of games.
So two games... Not 12, not 20, not 6, 2. Are we convinced he's a capable hitter? That he can be a contributor and a contributing member of the team?
No.
Neither am I.
Not even close. Like, I wouldn't even think to ask that question. He is who he is at this stage. Are we really that gullible?
Career postseason average. Know what it is?
Oh, my God. Hold on. 120.
160.
Okay.
Well, you went low.
Well, he sucks.
Well, he blows. He has got a 120. And that is not like he's got seven career at-bats. He's got 26 plate appearances in the postseason. So he, you know, he played.
What's he, 4 for 26?
So he played, yeah, very good, Mass. He's 4 for 25 at-bats. He has 26 plate appearances, 25 at-bats. But that's playing every day. He played 3 games against Cleveland, 4 last year against Houston. That's it. He played them all. The guy plays every day and never hits, except for a stray night in the middle or end of June.
Or a stray month.
And now we've got to be convinced. We have to be convinced?
Oh, God, please. That's ridiculous. Like, now, I'll tell you what I am happy about. Is that all these people who were shoving exit velocity down my throat, you know, that he was hitting the ball hard and getting, you know, no results and bad luck and all this. At least now those people will shut up because he's getting his hits. So fine, he's hitting the ball. Great. Again, best case, it lasts a month because that's his history.
And I'll tell you, he's not that bad. Fine. He's not this bad. He's a career 234 hitter. So what... This is now his sixth year. Well, at what sample point do I... He's got to go on a two-year run to convince me that he's not a schlub.
He's 28 years old, Mike.
He's 28 years old. This is his sixth year. He is a career 234 hitter. So at what point do you say you are what you are?
No. I would say about 2 years ago. Like, that would okay. be it.
All right, so there's enough ranting on Jackie Bradley. I just wanted to get to that. David in Maine. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
Well, you guys have had your fun giving Jackie Bradley a hard time, and I understand. But my take is, I'm wondering if he could be a little bit like a Dwight Evans. I didn't look up Dwight's career.
It's better than 234. Yeah, it's better than 234, I would say.
Is it a lot better?
Yes. I just off my eyeball, okay, I finally got it. 272 career hitter.
Career hitter, yes, but...
I know what he's going to say. Go ahead.
He definitely got better in his later years. Would you grant me that?
Okay, Maz? So mid-70s, Maz, I'm going to defer to you. Was Dwight Evans all field no-hit early in his career?
Largely, but he had power. Right, he had power. He had some 20 homer years in there, and then his career took a big turn in the early 80s. He became a Reniac disciple, Charlie La. It's a long, you know, change the whole hitting style, all that nonsense. And he did. He became one of the most productive hitters in Major League Baseball in the 1980s. In fact, he might have been the most productive in the 80s, based on some metrics. So, is it possible a guy finds it late? Sure. Do I think Jackie Bradley's that guy? No. And again, you know, Evans hit, in his career, Evans hit almost 400 home runs. Like, you know, there was a lot of value there independent of just the batting average with Evans. He hit for power. Like, you know, there were other elements there. Not with this guy. I mean, he's not hitting for power now.
Miles in Boston, what do you got for us?
Hey, so I was at the game last night, and I just wanted to do one more little point now that you've been talking about JBJ. The starting pitcher for Anaheim last night, he sucked. And then the guy they brought in out of the bullpen had an ERA around 6. So even if he's getting hits, I would bet that it's not against the greatest pitching. But on David Price real quick, I've been to a bunch of games. I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of pitchers. When David Price is feeling good, he's got a whole different air about him. But he just turned into a puddle as soon as he starts not going good. His whole body mannerisms change. His body language is bad. And it just scares the hell out of me. And his talent obviously got him through last night, but
no.
He just doesn't have confidence.
You don't need to tell us about him on the mound, Murray.
You don't have confidence. You're a puddle. I mean, you can see it. It's clear as day. I mean, Dennis Eckersley pointed it out. I've pointed it out. We can all see it. You know when it's not going good for David
Price. The between pitch routine is what, Murray?
stare in, deep breath. The burden of being me. Stare in. Nope. pick at my uniform, pick at my uniform, pick at my uniform. Oh, everything sucks. Pick at my uniform, pick at my uniform, pick at my uniform. Fine, I'll throw.
Pitch. Ball.
Repeat.
Spit a couple times. Take a deep breath. Now what?
Spit.
Spit. Nope, not that one, Vazzy.
You didn't want that.
Nope.
Didn't want that.
Nope.
Not that.
No.
Not that. Change
no.
up.
No.
Man.
No. The burden of being me.
One, two. Deep breath.
Uh-huh.
Second deep breath.
Couple of spits.
It's unbelievable how.
Couple of deep breaths, a couple of spits, and we'll have our answer.
This was the night that David Price attacked Eckersley on the plane, folks. Do you understand?
Well, it's the one that triggered.
What are you going to do now, Mr. Price?
I thought it was this night.
No, because they were home. And, well, go ahead. It wasn't this game. It happened after this game. Because remember, he blamed it on the Eduardo Rodriguez thing. And because, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez was on a rehab.
And it happened in the same game?
It may have, but he didn't. But they were on a flight leaving Toronto. When Price attacked Eck. I mean, verbally. You thought it was the same night? Maybe
we'll,
it was.
We'll check it. I thought it was going from this game to Toronto. Either way, that's Eckersley doing Murray. That's Eckersley riding David Price for his between-pitch routine. It has to have been after hearing Murray.
What are you going to do now, Mr. Price?
Because it's the same stuff, and that's what set Price off.
Spit a couple times. Take a deep breath. Now what?
Because Eckersley, unlike the rest of us, can't escape. He has to sit there and watch it. He has to sit there and grind through it with David Price and watch him spit and sigh and pick.
Didn't want that. Didn't want that.
And call off the catcher.
What that? Change up. Man.
And just waste all of our time. So Eck has to watch it. And he can't help himself because Eck just tells it like it is. And that's why David Price attacked him.
One, two.
That impersonation.
Deep breath. Second deep breath.
So there's, and we're trying to get some of the sound too. Apparently, David Price has done an interview today with Jim Rome. So, you know, God forbid he does anything on the local level, but he's doing a national interview.
I mean, Murray, you could do both voices for me if you could.
So, David, tell us what it's like playing in Boston. Is it bubbling with negativity?
You're damn right it is. These guys all are a bunch of a-holes. I hate it. I'm sorry to swear on your show.
That's all right. You're just keeping it real, David. Savage. Absolutely savage. Finding out, apparently during his interview, that David Price was actually playing Fortnite doing his interview with Jim Rome.
Oh, like, my God. You've got to be kidding
I'm
me.
I'm multitasking. Hold on. Let me log on.
Let me pull up over now. Hold on. I got to do this interview over here. Let me just log on here. All right. Here we go. Starting to party. Hey, Mookie, KV, this dude over here on one shot. Rush his ass and finish him off. it sucks playing here, Romy. I can't stand it.
Well, tell us a little bit more. What's it like? You over there multitasking, playing Fortnite? Game is huge right now. My kid's into it, too. I know all the terms. Savage with the SMG and the rocket launcher.
That's right. You want to join my clan, too? We are savage on here, too. It's so much fun, Romy. Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm just racking up kills right now. Benny, JBJ, OMG. You should see these stormtroopers over here just hiding like a bunch of scared-ass bitches.
Yeah, it's great playing for Alex Cora, too. I should probably add that.
Awesome. First-year manager. Killing it in Boston right now.
See, he can do both. He was playing Fortnite during the interview.
Perfect.
All right, we got more on that. More on Jackie Bradley and the Red Sox if you want. We'll circle back and update you on the latest NBA rumor mongering. There's some good stuff, some good fodder out there that we'll get to again right after Murray's update here. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.